Hello and welcome to the Everyday Adventure Podcast. My name is Nikki Bass and I will be bringing you thoughts and ideas and hopefully some inspiration on how to build more adventure into your everyday life. So today it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Zara Mahmood to the show. So Zara is a chartered accountant by day, but on Instagram, she is better known as the Hillwalking Hijabi. She started hiking around 5 years ago. And as a Scottish Pakistani Muslim woman who loves the outdoors, she started her account with the aim of inspiring other people, other women, but particularly women like herself, to feel that there is a place to get out there and experience the same psychological and physical benefits that she has from being out in the mountains. So I first came across Zara's Instagram account a couple of months ago, and I was immediately struck by two things. First is just the raw beauty of the Scottish mountains, and it just makes me want to get out into the landscape and go and experience it for myself. The other is really her willingness and her passion in speaking about injustice as she finds it, particularly around racial and religious discrimination. These are issues that have impacted her and that she experiences as a Muslim woman in these predominantly white outdoor spaces. So Zara, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be asked.
My first question really has got to be, have you always enjoyed being in the outdoors? Is there something particularly that inspired you to take up hill walking? What was it that motivated you to get started?
Well, absolutely not. It wasn't really something I'd considered at all. And it wasn't until a few years ago, probably about 5 to 6 years ago, when I was studying for my chartered accountancy exams while working, and they're notoriously difficult exams. And I'd gotten myself into like this kind of really bad state, both mentally and physically, to the point that I was physically unwell because I just couldn't seem to get through these exams, the mock practice exams before the actual final one. And it coincided with my birthday, and two of my friends that I was studying and working with at the time, Pamela and Fiona, thought that me getting out of the office for one day or half a day and just kind of being outside hill walking would maybe do me the world of good and take my mind off it and help physically as well as mentally. So yeah, they decided for my birthday that we go up hiking up Ben Lomond, and I'd never, you know, heard of hill walking or hiking, or, you know, like didn't even know what it entailed, to the point that I thought we would be like literally traversing up the side of a mountain in the actual hill walking gear. So I was a bit hesitant at first, but when they explained it, it's literally just walking on a path, I thought, yeah, I can do walking on a path. Didn't obviously appreciate the incline that comes with it. So yeah, I went out hill walking with them. And for those that know, Ben Lomond is a Munro, which means it's over 3,000 feet. So yeah, it was really steep. And I think I just complained the whole way. I threatened, I stopped every 2 minutes. I threatened to go back to the car, but they weren't having any of it. They just kept like gently, one of them was gently pushing me along with her words, and the other one was kind of being more of the bad cop and being saying, like, you can do this, you have to do this, we're not going to do it without you. So yeah, and then at the end of the day I got to the top, but I thought afterwards it wasn't for me. I just thought, like, you know, the fitness wasn't there, but also I thought, you know, the stairs that coupled with that I got while I was outside, I was just very aware of people kind of looking at me and staring. And I didn't know if that was because of my fitness or because of how I looked, because I was the only brown woman walking up the whole way and down, and only brown hijabi woman as well wearing a hijab. So yeah, I got a lot of stares, so that kind of put me off as well. So for about a year after that, I didn't really do any kind of hill walking again. I did decide to do something about my fitness though. So I did join a gym and kind of do kilt walk, which is like a flat walk in Scotland. So I did kind of all that just to build up my stamina. And then it wasn't until about a year after that, when I was going through a difficult time in my life again, I was going through a separation in my life, and I decided to get back outside. So again, it was Pamela and Fiona, and they thought it would benefit me. They said, it benefited you last time. Okay, you complained, but I mean, you got there in the end and you passed your exam, so it obviously worked. So yeah, they took me out, and even though I had like so many amazing people in my life, it wasn't until like I went outside and kind of just got out of my head, out of the city. And yeah, and it really just, it was the first time that I hadn't thought of any of the problems in my life. And I just kind of, it clicked at that point. So since then, I've not really looked back. And it was a much smaller hill than Ben Lomond as well, which helped.
started to, yeah, build it back up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. So then, I mean, was it that the point at which you decided to start the Instagram account, or did that come later? What was the inspiration behind that?
I think it was like a few months later after that. It wasn't too long after that. It was shortly after that, but it was more that I found I had a kind of normal Instagram, if you will, where I was kind of just posting, you know, your food and your kind of whatever you're doing outside, pictures of you and your friends and all the rest of it. And my sisters had picked up on the fact that slowly all my pictures seemed to be just of the outdoors or me outdoors, and said, you know, why don't you make a specific account for that? You can meet like-minded people, like virtually meet like-minded people, and, you know, it'll give you more kind of ideas and inspiration, etc. And they were joking that, you know, because I was saying, you know, I'm the only one that looks like me, etc. outside. And they were saying, you know, well, you're the hill walking hijabi. And it was them that came up with the name. So okay. I thought, yeah, you know, why not? I took that as a hint as well, that they were probably sick of seeing the pictures. I thought, go find your people. So yeah.
Someone else to show your photos too.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I made that account. But shortly after that, I kind of deleted the other account because I had the two of them kind of still running. But I realised I didn't really have interest in posting anything else other than my love for the outdoors. So, yeah, that's kind of really where it came. And I honestly thought it would just be me and maybe like a few friends and family or some kind of people that I'd meet virtually. But I never thought it would kind of snowball almost. To me, it snowballed because I didn't expect it to even get more than like 100 followers. So to have all these people that are kind of not just want to see the pictures but interested in what I've got to say is really humbling. And yeah, if I can inspire anybody to get outside, then that's amazing. But especially if they look like me, that's even more amazing.
That's incredible. And I think it's so interesting, isn't it, like you said, that you start with a sort of the aim of, okay, well, I'm going to just put out there what I'm doing, because actually that it might be interesting to connect with other people, but not really expecting anything. And then, like you say, that snowball effect, going, wow, this is really resonating with people. Yeah. I mean, one of the questions I often ask is, what's the unexpected benefit that's come out of what you've done? And that sounds like it's been one of them. And I was just wondering what else that you've experienced, you've gone, wow, I never set out thinking that that's something that would happen, but that's brought so much to my life as well.
Yeah, I think the messages that I get, because probably 99% of the messages that I receive from people are really, really positive. And to have people messaging me, not just women and hijabi women, but I think the most humbling thing has been, and it shouldn't be, but I think it's just the fact that people feel that comfortable to reach out, was a message from a man who reached out, was a white man, and said that, you know, he was finding it difficult to kind of get fit again, and my posts and my kind of passion for the outdoors really inspired him, and he was taking on this massive challenge of walking like 100 miles over a month or something. Wow. And it was because of what I was posting, and I thought, no, you can't be talking about me. And it honestly like got me really emotional. And I think people shouldn't underestimate that, because I think that has been the biggest benefit to me. Like, companies reaching out and all that is great, but to me it's the people that really want to get outdoors and really are inspired by, you know, what I'm doing, which is basically just sharing my love for the outdoors. It's nothing more, nothing less. So I think that the messages that I receive are definitely the high point of, you know, what's kind of snowballed. Yeah,
that's so interesting. And in a way, it's like you said, you sort of set out to hopefully inspire people, but then actually when it happens and when you get the feedback that happens, in a way that's unexpected. Yeah, in itself. Definitely. But that's amazing. So I can imagine you've probably faced a few challenges on the way, and in terms of physical challenges as well. You've already talked about your first walk was possibly more physically challenging than you expected. I mean, have there been any other challenges you've encountered, and sort of ways in which you've found helpful to face them, I guess?
So, like, I suppose there's challenges that are, like you say, there's physical challenges, there's mental challenges, thinking that you can't do it and stuff. And then there's external challenges that other people bring to your kind of journey. And then for me, there's also kind of the spiritual or religious challenges as well. So combining my faith with the outdoors. So I suppose there's quite a few different challenges, and, you know, it's kind of finding your feet through them. Physical challenges, obviously, I spoke about. I would still say I'm not the fittest person. I'm not the fastest person up a mountain. I love to take my time, take it all in. For me, being out there is not just kind of zooming up the mountain and back down, or zooming to the end of the walk or whatever and back. It's enjoying that time outdoors. It's kind of like my comfort and just taking that time. And, you know, I've set aside a day or a half a day, and I'm going to fully take that half a day or full day to enjoy that time. So there's no rush, there's no race. So I would still say I'm not the fittest. Mentally, you know, there's been a couple of times where I've probably had to turn back because I suffer from IBS and gastritis. So sometimes my symptoms aren't playing ball and, you know, I'm just feeling sick or nauseated and I just have to kind of turn back. So mentally turning back and then trying to go out the next week after that, that's really tough. And It's kind of reminding yourself of what you have achieved and not what just happened last week. And then external challenges, I suppose, from the people may bring, you know, I've not had any kind of overt racism or Islamophobia, but it's more the kind of microaggressions that people like myself have to deal with on a daily basis. And it's like people maybe stop to chat to you and they think they're being nice, but they're just assuming that it's your first time outdoors, even though you're kind of dressed all in the kit, because they don't see people, maybe as many people as they should, from different backgrounds. And so they're just assuming that, you know, it's your first time. And especially if you're with other white people, they're assuming that you've got the least knowledge or you're the least experienced. So yeah, there's that to deal with. And then recently I had a situation where, you know, we had extreme heat in Scotland, which is very unheard of. But obviously I don't really change the way that I dress for that extreme heat. Obviously I'm wearing lighter layers and less layers, but I'm still fully covered apart from my face, my hands. I'm still covered head to toe. So it was I think I kind of stopped to let a group of people pass. And I don't think he meant any harm, which is why I didn't kind of say anything at that point. I think I was also stunned. I said it afterwards on my Instagram, but I didn't make a big thing of it because I know he didn't mean any harm by it, but it's just an example of what things that we have to face. And I stopped to let him and his friends pass, and he said hi and I said hi, and I kind of made small talk and said, oh, the weather, you know, it's so hot and it's so warm, isn't it? And, you know, like, I can't believe this weather. I kind of made a comment about how hot it was. And he looked me up and down head to toe and said, well, you're pretty covered up, aren't you? And I thought, well, there was no need to say that. So it was literally like, you know, small talk about the weather. The only really acceptable or appropriate response is to talk about the weather back. There's no need to comment on someone's, you know, what they're wearing, because we wouldn't comment on a woman who was wearing maybe shorts and a vest top. So why feel the need to comment on what I'm wearing, which is clearly for religious reasons because I've got my headscarf on as well. So, you know, it's that kind of challenges that brings, because that stayed with me, and I wasn't going to speak about that, but that kind of stayed with me for like a week afterwards. And then until one of my friends who was with me said, you know, you should maybe speak about it, because people need to know that this is the kind of comments that people like yourself get, and it's not acceptable. So I did speak about it, and yeah, I felt better after I spoke about it, but it is still at the back of my mind. Like, it doesn't go away just as soon as you speak about it. It is, you are thinking, you know, if it's a hot day again and you're going outside, oh, what if I get a comment like that? And you may never get a comment like that, but the kind of thought that's there, the mental capacity that's taken up thinking about it, is exhausting enough. You know, so it doesn't really make a difference whether you get a comment or not, because that mental capacity is taken up. And then finally, I suppose, with the religious aspect, and I speak a lot about the fact that the outdoors is great for me spiritually as well, personally. And I find a lot of kind of comfort in that. And I find a lot of, you know, connecting with my faith and God as well through the outdoors. But, you know, the other challenge that it brings is that I pray 5 times a day at set times. So sometimes it is a case of finding a quiet spot and trying to pray, which obviously brings its own challenges with the terrain, because obviously it can be quite boggy or, you know, wet or snowing. I have a travel prayer mat, or it can be as well people just stopping to stare at you because they don't really know what you're doing. So again, that's external, I suppose. But yeah, there's loads of different challenges, but I think if you want it enough, you'll find a way to kind of mentally bring yourself round to them or accept them or kind of just work through them. And that's what I've kind of tried to do.
It's so interesting, isn't it, that thing of the multiple layers of challenge that you're having to experience. And then I think that so many people relate to certain levels of what, you know, you're talking about, but then actually to have on top, like you said, the mental energy that it then takes to think about, it may not be something that I encounter, but having encountered it, it's then there in your mind. And that point about as well is that speaking out is so powerful because it helps other people, but that also that doesn't necessarily take away the damage in a way that's done, and that having to process. And I think that it's having that awareness sometimes. I think for those of us who do just walk out there and aren't having to necessarily encounter those sort of those thoughts going on in the background of our minds, although mm-hmm. other things may be happening. Actually, it's mm-hmm. going to really think about if we want spaces to be more inclusive, if we want the outdoors to feel welcoming, and to feel that people are free to go and experiencing it without having to have those thoughts in the back of their minds. Actually, mm-hmm. there is a lot of work that we need to do ourselves in thinking about before those statements come out. And I think, like you said, it's not necessarily the overt stuff. Sometimes it can be quite subtle and having to manage too. And I know that, like you said, you've been approached by quite a few brands, and certainly in the last few weeks, I would imagine that you know, that's become more prominent. And that visibility, I would imagine, is good. But I can also imagine that there may be a flip side to that, that actually...
100%. Yeah. So basically, I've probably turned down a lot more than I've accepted in terms of any kind of companies reaching out to me, because I think what the companies fail to realise is that people like myself, minorities, will always know what's genuine and what's not, because we've had a lifetime of experience of it. So I know when it's coming from a place of, you know, we need to do better, or, you know, this is what we were thinking, as opposed to a place of, you've got a wee bit of a following, what you do fits in with our brand, so, and you're a minority, so tick, kind of thing. So I'm not really interested in that kind of engagement. I mean, for me, I suppose I also have the added kind of privilege that this is not my full-time job or anything. You know, I work full-time, so I do have the privilege that I can turn down a lot of these requests, because what, it's not worth my time, or, you know, it's just not worth it, like the stress of it. So, you know, when I recognize that other minorities may not have that privilege, because if it isn't their full-time job, they may rely on that. But yeah, it does bring that added pressure, because it's kind of like, you do want to work with some brands, and it's quite disappointing when some of the brands that do reach out, you've actually respected them in the past, and then the way that they reach out, you kind of lose all respect for them. But yeah, the kind of companies that I have worked with, or the links that I have kept with companies going forward, actually a few of them had reached out pre-COVID, and so those are the ones that I've continued to work with, because they recognised something in me, I don't know what, but they recognised something in me prior to like the movement and the calls for diversity. So, you know, it's just a case for me of, and I, like I said, I do have that privilege of being picky and just thinking, well, I don't really need any additional stress. I work Monday to Friday. This is just a fun hobby for me, and if it brings these additional opportunities, great, but I've got the power to choose what I want to give my patience, my time, and all the rest of it too.
No, absolutely. And like you said, the energy that it requires to meet other people's needs in some ways as well. So what's next then? I mean, you know, you've got this wonderful Instagram account, and you're doing some amazing work in terms of visibility. And in terms of, like you said, for yourself, just getting outside and enjoying the outdoors and being able to experience the countryside as well. I mean, what would you like to do next? Is it a case of, actually, I want to carry on doing what I'm doing because that's what I love?
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a mixture. I have all these kind of background goals in my head, but then at the same time, I'm like, well, this is kind of selfishly, maybe to an extent, I'm like, well, this is my kind of release from a stressful week at work, and it's kind of my get out, and I don't want to kind of lose sight of that ever, because at the end of the day, I don't think what I post is necessary. Obviously, when I'm working with companies, it might be, but at the end of the day, what I'm posting isn't really content in my eyes. It's my life. It's like what my journey is. It's what my posts are. Unless obviously I'm working with a company, then obviously it is content. But you know, in some ways, I kind of want to keep that because I've found it such a great stress reliever. I found that it has so many benefits for me, physical, mental, spiritual as well. So I kind of want to keep that. But I do have kind of goals at the back of my head. I did have a 30 before 30 list because I turned 30 a couple of weeks ago. But then COVID came in place.
Oh, no.
So all that went out the window. So I changed it, and I thought I'll just get to 30 Monroes by before my birthday, and I managed to do that.
So I managed to do that which
probably isn't a lot for a lot of people, but for me, given the fact that I only started mid-year last year, trying to do another Munro after Ben Lomond was kind of a big deal. But yeah, so I kind of actually asked people yesterday what do you think my goal should be for next year? Because I actually really enjoyed working towards a goal. So I thought something achievable but challenging. And so a lot of people came back with some really interesting ideas. So it's given me food for thought. But obviously as well, I'm so conscious now of planning anything as well, because also one of the kind of things that I had in the back of my head earlier this year, and I'd posted about it, and it was literally ready to go when lockdown hit, was a group walk for Muslim women, because I thought I'd get some more Muslim women out there, and especially visibly Muslim women that wear a headscarf. But then I had to cancel it 3 times. Once because I was unwell because I got tonsillitis.
Oh no.
Second time it was the whole storms that were going on in Scotland. Literally we worked ourselves through the alphabet with the storm names. And then so I had to cancel the second time. And then the third time lockdown hit. So I was literally like, someone somewhere is telling me this is not a good idea. So yeah, that kind of went on the back burner, and I think I've got all these ideas at the back of my head, but again I'm trying to be realistic because I'm thinking we don't know what's happening right now in this kind of crazy times, and I don't want to make plans and then kind of be disappointed by them either, so I'm trying to also just go with the flow as well this year.
Yeah, and it is, isn't it, that thing of going if you told us 6 months ago, be like, yeah, I'm going to do this, that and this year, and now it's like, okay, if I achieve, I mean, to achieve 39 rows, I'm blown away by that. If I get out the front door for a dog walk, I'm pretty pleased at the moment. Amazing. So given everything you've experienced over the last, since you've set up your account in the last few years, and there's someone out there listening thinking, actually, I'd really like to get started with hill walking, or I'd like to get started on my own adventures, and I'm not really sure where to start or what to do. What's the one piece of advice you would give them?
I'd say if you have someone in your life, because that's what helped me, is that if you have someone in your life that has a bit more confidence with the outdoors and you want to get out like to the countryside hill walking specifically, then try to tag along with them if you can. Obviously, restrictions and all that and adherence with them. But feeling that, one thing that I learned through lockdown was that we literally do not need to go far to enjoy the outdoors, because I'm quite lucky. I live next to a park, Pollock Park in Glasgow. And though I've been to it before lockdown, I've never explored it like I did during lockdown, because obviously we were allowed our daily walk. And I think that was the most I've ever walked ever, because wow. I was literally like, this is the only time I can leave the house, so I'm definitely getting my daily walk in. And I think then during proper lockdown, I walked more than I'm walking now, because it's kind of like, oh well, we're allowed outside, so I'll maybe not go today, I'll go tomorrow. Whereas but before it was like, no, this is my allotted time, I am going. And I literally, how many months were we in lockdown? Every day I went for a walk in Pollock Park, and I found a new route every day. And obviously it's a country park, so it's quite big, it's got Highland coos as well, which helps. But literally every day found a new route, and I was amazed like how much I could enjoy the outdoors just being so close to home within that 5 miles. So, you know, if you have a park like that, or if you have like some kind of walks that you can do, even flat walks, it doesn't have to be a Munro, it doesn't have to be a big hill. Just build up your confidence with the outdoors, build up your kind of comfort level with the outdoors if you're new to it, and then work yourself up, kind of like what I did. Don't start too heavy like I did and then have to go away from it for a while because you don't feel like it's for you. Start small, start local, start, you know, easy, comfort level, whatever you're comfortable with, and then build yourself up, I would say.
Amazing. I do find it so interesting that, you know, because obviously this podcast is about everyday adventures and things you can do. And I think lockdown really brought that home to so many of us. I know for me, I mean, I talked about it, but I still like to go further away places. And then when you couldn't go anywhere other than your doorstep, it's amazing how inventive you can be as well. I think you're like, totally. Well, I will try this path, like you said.
It was totally like that. I think I remember one day I went into Pollock Park and I was literally taking pictures of like, should I take this route or this route, and asking people on my Instagram, and it was literally me decide. And I just kind of went into it and found this whole new kind of path. It was amazing. So, and I don't think I would have done that or appreciated even the cities, like a Glasgow, which is like quite a like industrial city, appreciating the green spaces that it has to offer, because like you say, when you know you're able to, you're kind of like, let's get as far away as we can, and that's the only way to enjoy the outdoors. But actually there's a lot to be learned and experienced at your doorstep as well.
And so true. So if people want to find out more about your adventures and follow you, where can they go, where can they find you?
Probably Instagram's the best. I don't really use Facebook. I don't think I even have a Facebook. So I think I did a while ago for some charity work that I was doing, but Instagram's probably the best. I'm on Instagram as @the_hillwalking_hijabi.
Fantastic. And we'll pop it in the show notes as well for everyone. But yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's been wonderful to chat to you. And I can't wait to see the rest of your adventures as well. Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Zara. What I wanted to pick up on this week was to talk about her point around spirituality and that how for her being out in the wilderness and the landscapes is part of her faith, is part of a spiritual experience for her. And I think that for so many of us, whether we follow a particular faith or set of beliefs or not, actually, nature can have a really profound impact and can feel intensely spiritual for us. I think there is something about connecting with something that's much bigger than us, that is much more powerful than ourselves, and that gives us a completely different sense of perspective and our place as well. And it's really interesting because there have been quite a few studies and research into this, looking around the effects of awe, how nature can impact on our sense of spirituality. And there was a 2013 study by Kmitzis and Francis, which found that these intense emotions are really heightened and are really connected to our experiences in nature. And there is a positive association with that, but also that this in turn has a really positive effect on our psychological well-being. And I know for myself that when I am present in a landscape or in a situation in nature that is awe-inspiring, that makes me stop in my tracks and take a breath. And whether that is in the mountains or by the sea or even in my back garden watching a beautiful sunset or going out when I let the dog out at night and staring up at the stars, that connects with something for me at a quite a profound level. And, you know, does help me to get a sense of perspective and transcends in lots of ways the sort of the everyday concerns and worries. It's just a moment or a pause of feeling that you are part of something bigger than yourself, and whatever form or shape that might be. And I'd love to know what you think about this, whether this connection is something that you experience. You can read more about this. There are some great articles and research out there, and I'll put some links in the show notes. And if you've not listened to it already, I'd also highly recommend listening to Florence Williams' The 3-Day Effect on Audible, and where she looks at the impact that nature can have on people's psychological well-being, but also their sense of awe over 3 days and how this impacts on their lives. If you want to get in touch with me and discuss any of the issues that I've raised in the podcast, or let me know how you found it, please do reach out. You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Resilience at Work. You can also join our Facebook group, the Everyday Adventure Club, or visit my website and drop me an email at resiliencework.co.uk. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you back here again next week with another amazing guest, and look forward to speaking to you then. Take care. Bye.